It is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy and politics, bringing well over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. And we welcome him in on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Mr. Lynch. How are you this morning?
And good morning. It's really great to be with you. Jill, how are you doing?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Oh, very good. Very serious.
What?
Very serious.
Very serious.
Oh,
well, very serious.
That's because she has to, unfortunately for Jill, she has to come in here in the morning, and she has to pick up after me and the cats. And it's like being married to me without being married to me. It's a fate almost worse than death.
Well, actually, it does have some intrinsic benefit
there's
with
not,
that as the situation.
There's not many for me. For me, yes. For her, no.
Well, it's always important that there be some good out there.
Right.
I'm just some selfless sacrifice. No, it didn't start. Marshall was kind enough to give me his car, so that's
Well, that's not a bad trade-off.
Well, yeah,
I think you got the better part of the deal.
She's still
I know
got,
he's a car aficionado, so it must be a very lovely car.
She still has to put up with my lack of patience.
Yeah.
Anyhow, anyhow. patience.
Right.
That's right.
Wonderful virtue.
Yes.
Shared by so few.
I've been searching for it for years.
Yes. Right around the corner, they say, and then you turn that corner and it's
nada. Nada. Niente.
Nada. Nada. Anyhow, let's see here on this bright morning. It's a little chilly up there, I guess, in the big north. Where I guess it's getting obvious we're going to have an impeachment of the president, but I think more importantly, particularly from all standpoints, starting with the market, I'm not expert, nor is anybody who doesn't have the inside on things and in these meetings and so forth. It does begin to seem like a lot of heads are going to roll. Pompeo, Barr, a number of people, certainly Giuliani, and it's going to create an environment that is different, more significant, and will probably be more telling on the investment markets, because it's one thing to have one arm of the government, one and a half arms, Trump and half the Senate, or the Senate, out of whack, but when important posts continue to be charged and must leave, it's going to create a market environment that is not too good. I suggest, therefore, you continue to par your stock holdings, keep the good ones, so to speak, sell those that are not performing, but I think you get your risk tolerance down. I'd avoid getting sucked into the bond market as a safe haven. You can get almost a 2% in 6 months, and 1.5, 160 in 2 years. I'd keep my investing there. I'd stay out of junk bonds. I'd sell junk bond funds. There's $72 trillion worth of debt throughout the world. We will have a crisis in that area. Why or when, but it is coming. And if you look at what the governments are doing throughout the world, they are basically creating instruments, fixed income instruments that give you hardly any yield, and are trying to create more and more surplus in their currencies. And eventually this will breed probably a significant inflation. But the thing is, we could have recession, then inflation, in a 1-2 order. We're 10, 11 years long in the tooth now in the economy, having succeeded, and certainly in the stock market. I think the stock market's still up 20% in the last year or so. So I would be very, very careful and be content only having some cash in short-term governments or a short-term money market fund. Politically, But then you're going to be Katie by the door. And if the Republicans don't get off their duff pretty soon, they will be victims of Trumpitis because people are not going to stand for the Republicans sitting on their hands as basically the current occupant of the White House is destroying our way of life, will destroy our economy, is trying to do so throughout the world. Stupid, I don't know if he's stupid or not. His actions certainly are stupid. I think probably the bigger worry now is that this maniacal approach he has to life, which is all for me, nothing for you, is going to really come home to roost the longer he stays in the office. And the 25th Amendment, which will be very difficult to implement, that's the amendment where the vice president would lead the charge and say, you know, the president is not fit to serve, so step down. They don't have enough cabinet members, probably, to get that done. You need X amount of cabinet members along with the VP to make him stand down. I said, I think on the show, but I certainly wrote it somewhere, I think what's necessary here is that McConnell, Pelosi, and two of their senior people get together and in great seriousness and very privately get Trump in a room with somebody who will help him get through the interview and say, look, you've got to step down. You know, you're going down one way or another. So be aware and don't spend any money. Save it and keep current on those interest payments.
You know, it's watching what goes on, not only in this country but in Europe and now with what's going on in Turkey, makes it so important when you look at somebody who's running for president, and I will say that Donald Trump was never trained in politics. He was always his own employer or worked for his father. He ran his own business. And we all knew how he ran his own business. And he's now president of the United States. And 3 years in, 2.5 years in, he's not going to change. For a person, I'm going to be 67. A person who's 60, 70 years old is used to doing things a certain way. Now that I, along with Jill, have run our own business for the past 10, 11 years, I can't go back the way I was. I can't. So we are now seeing, and everybody says, well, you know, we don't need a politician. You know, I would say that you don't need a politician. This country was formed on the fact that the people who lived and worked in this country could go represent in the House or the Senate. And back when that was established, they were farmers. There were some industrialists, but they were farmers. They were people who worked in their communities. They went off. They did their 2 or 4 or 6 years, whatever it was. And then they came back to their community, and they continued doing what they did before. In that way, you don't need professional politicians. You need people that care about the community they live in and the United States as a whole. But when you come to the President of the United States, it's a different office. It is a total different platform. You have to be able to manage the independence of the executive branch, the judicial branch, and the lawmaking branch. Everyone has separate and but equal powers. And as a CEO of his own company for so many years, he does not recognize that and will never recognize that or understand it. That's the big problem. And it's bad enough the way that affects the way the legislature and laws and everything are made here in the United States. That's bad enough. But now what we're seeing is the worst impact of this. There is no sustainable foreign policy. Now, like I said, you can have your problems with George Bush, you can have your problems with Barack Obama. You can have your problems with George Herbert Walker Bush, with Bill Clinton, with Ronald Reagan. One thing all those presidents had was a State Department and a foreign policy that was rock solid and stayed the same. And like I said, by no means am I saying all these presidents always put forward foreign policy that I agreed with. They didn't. But it was a consistent foreign policy. So that meant other people in the world knew what to expect from the United States. That is gone. And Jim, speaking as someone whose mother rose from nothing to be a retail manager of, I think, 10 or 15 in one of the biggest stores in the Northeast, gift shops, she learned along the way. And the whole thing is that once you lose that respect, once you lose that, it's not even respect, the understanding that people, businesses, or countries no longer have faith in your word, it's now 10 times harder to get that back. And China is taking advantage of that to the nth degree, and even people like Erdogan in Turkey taking advantage of that, and of course Vladimir Putin taking advantage of that, putting further cracks and separating the United States from what it used to be. And I said, good or bad, whether you agreed with it 100% or 50% or 25%, the United States always stood for something, and it was rock solid. And now, foreign policy-wise, it doesn't. And like I say, we can get over our own internal problems with the way the president runs the presidency. We can get over our own internal problems. But boy, getting that foot back out into world politics is going to be very hard for this country.
Very well said. I think we can go back to George Bush Sr. and the way he handled the necessity of our going in and getting Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait. He did it by calling upon all of his resources in this country. And then, before he went in and did military combat, he got the support of all our allies. And the net result was the war was over with him, the first one, Saddam, very quickly. It was resolved without much loss of life. And most importantly, George Bush Jr. knew when to fold them. And he brought peace to the region. Now, we haven't had that effectiveness in this area probably since Bush Sr. But it conveys the thought that we in this country can lead the most powerful, or we used to be able to lead the most powerful forces in the world to maintain peace. If you look at the organizations that we have, the European Union, NATO, the United Nations, those organizations were formed to maintain the peace after the terrible Second World War. We really have to indoctrinate our children to understand these things, that these institutions are there to protect us and the world, and they're not meant to be artificial institutions that have power or sway over us. They are to help us cooperate with maintaining the peace. And we certainly are now we're not at peace, and we're certainly in great danger. Let me come back, though, to your talking about the current occupant in the White House, Marshall. One of our problems is that it's not so much this man goes back to what he knew, because he didn't know much. He had 5 bankruptcies. He avoided the draft. And what he's done, he's gotten himself into a position where he is personally vulnerable to the foreign leaders. Now, the reason, in my humble opinion, the Turks went in the way they did was because in that phone conversation that he had, what's his name, Trump, with Erdogan, it was very simple. The Turks have the tapes of the Khashoggi killing in the Saudi consulate in Turkey. That was mused about at the time of the Khashoggi murder. That's what he has. He's got the tapes that implicate Donald Trump and definitely Jared in the killing of Khashoggi. So that card was played, and that's, in my opinion, I don't have a lot of facts to back it up, is why we let the Turks invade. Also, along those lines, we have opened up a gateway for the Russians in the Middle East. And what's that card? That card is whatever Putin has on Trump. He certainly has. The Russians have been laundering money in this country, it seems like forever. But it takes two sentences for Putin to say, oh, well, you know, Donald, we have this and we have that, and, you know. And lastly, the Chinese are making damn fools of us as they waltz us around the room with this supposed, we're going to do tariffs and we're going to bring them to heel. We're losing. We lose every day that Donald Trump steps into the office and deals with the Chinese. The Chinese have our number. He's a coward. He won't talk up. And, I mean, in a decisive way, a leadership way. So the problem is the current occupant is subject to personal liability from these governments. And he's doing things to save himself, such as allowing the Turks to invade and thereby put us all in jeopardy, starting in the Middle East.
Now, we only have about 3 or 4 minutes left, and I have a question. I'm no stock market maven at all. I have no idea. I look at the numbers, and I follow the numbers not on a day-to-day basis, but on a month-to-month basis to see, you know, what's going where. But one thing I've noticed over the past 5 months, because Donald Trump loves to talk about the stock market, it appears to me that, and I can't believe that the people in the markets are this, the term stupid isn't right, because they're not. They wouldn't be where they are if they were stupid. But every time the market starts to go down from one of the things that he does, about every month he throws in, okay, we're ready to settle the trade deal with China. And, of course, the numbers then go through the roof for a week or two. And then when people realize that we're not ready to get a deal with China, they start coming back down to earth. Maybe I'm wrong, but I know that Jill's taught me this, that the way the stock market is manipulated by the people who actually are in the market is one thing, but I have never quite seen the constant use by a president of the ability to manipulate the market to make it go up when he wants to go up and go down and control that. And I don't understand why Wall Street lets that happen over and over.
Because
and over
they're
again.
Making a fortune.
And
the other thing, and I just am going to interject here. I know we've only got a couple minutes left, but I just, you know, in the huge picture, you can make a you can get yourself wrong-footed if you're only focusing on event, like current event, and then you leap to the next, like chaotic event, to the next chaotic event, to the next chaotic event. I think that just from depending on who you are, historical perspective, the Russian mischief-making, and I'm not just talking about the election, I mean, this has been going on, social media, et cetera, dividing things since 2006, 2008. And what we are getting to and what we've gotten to is, you know, basically a total crisis point with it. And to understand what's happening globally, you kind of have to know what the forces in play are.
All right, Jim, you have a minute and a half to wrap up here.
Okay. Well, let me go back to the beginning of Jill's statement. She's absolutely right. Wall Street is making a ton of money. They've figured out the con game, okay? So they go with the flow. Remember, Wall Street is on these computers, and they're managing billions of dollars. They've got the power to move markets within seconds. So they go along with Trump's behavior, and they take advantage of it. They'll buy it when he's about to make his China comment, and then they'll sell it when they know that enthusiasm is lagging. Trump, in his own way, is manipulating the market, and Wall Street is going on with it, not illegal. They're traders. So that's why, as I think Jim Cramer has said, very outspoken guy, don't be sucked in by this China stuff. I'll tell you right now, Trump is lying. The Chinese are dancing him around. One last thing. There's a thing called the Plunge Protection Agency. It is formed in 1987 and enables the federal government to buy stocks to stabilize markets. They are beholden to no one. The Secretary of Treasury runs it, Mnuchin. They don't have to report to anybody. That, I know, has been in operation. So when the market seems to get into trouble, I will bet that periodically that group comes in and manipulates the market. They've got to do their transactions through Wall Street firms.
Yep.
They see it coming. They're going to buy again. Bingo. They take it up.
Right.
It's a manipulated market, and it adds to, in my humble opinion, the tremendous risk in the stock market at this point.
All right. We're out of time.
Right, and you're absolutely right. We are out of time.
Out of time. It's been such a wonderful 2 hours. I really appreciate it.
Jim, we'll speak to you next week.
Yes, we will speak to you next week, and God knows what's going to happen.
And God bless
Love
the Jets.
Love you all. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio.